KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Today is Wednesday, October 14th, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Mobilization for Healthcare for All has a little something for Blue Cross.
Interior Secretary Ken Salazar has another plan for our forests.
And yet a second Republican signs on to a body of healthcare legislation that lacks a spine.
Portland area weather today, rain, highs near 60, south-southwest wind around 15 miles an hour. Tonight, showers early turning to rain later, lows in the mid-50s, and more rain for the next couple of days.
And first we go to regional news from around Cascadia. Tomorrow we find out if the Obama administration really can see the forest for the trees. Interior Secretary Ken Salazar is going to lay out what kind of commercial logging will take place on millions of acres of federal forests in western Oregon. Salazar plans to reveal, in a teleconference with reporters, his plan for Bureau of Land Management forests in western Oregon following the withdrawal of a Bush-era logging plan in June. Expect to hear the word thinning used in cruel and unusual ways. Congressman Peter DeFazio says he's concerned about the current pace at which timber projects are being developed and offered for sale by the BLM. Pete, so are we.
The fight is on. Members of Washington State's congressional delegation want Commerce Secretary Gary Locke to rethink the decision to move a National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration base from Seattle to Newport, Oregon. They claim that moving NOAA's Pacific base for its ships to Oregon would take the vessels farther away from important research facilities. They note that NOAA has 11 research centers in Washington State, but just two in Oregon. Add that to the fact that there's an outside chance Oregon will play host to Texas liquefied natural gas interests, and Washington looks better and better.
Washington's Department of Fish and Wildlife is closing the fall Chinook salmon season at the Hanford Reach at midnight tonight because of a higher-than-expected harvest. The Tri-City Herald reports that fishing on the Columbia River from Highway 395 Bridge to Pasco to Priest Rapids is being closed 8 days early because of concerns that fewer adult Chinook will be left to spawn. The department says this year's harvest already has surpassed the 2008 catch by 40%. As of Sunday, an estimated 27,000 adult Chinook at the reach were expected to be able to spawn below the natural spawning goal of about 29,000. And this is important because you live here, presumably because of details such as the above, not just for the half-calf, decaf, soy, caramel lattes.
In Seattle, a lawyer for Native American tribes is asking a federal judge to order Washington State to drastically increase the pace of fixing culverts that block salmon passage. John Sled, representing 9 of the 19 tribes in the case, says nothing else will get the job done in a reasonable amount of time. Sled wants U.S. District Judge Ricardo Martinez to order repairs to end salmon blockages caused by all state highway culverts within 20 years and those and other culverts under state jurisdiction within 6 years. Assistant Attorney General Renee Thomaser argued that the case was a distraction from cooperative salmon restoration efforts by government agencies, tribes, and private interests.
Convenient. Convenient. The possibility of genuine deep structural reform in America's healthcare system becomes ever more remote as the quest for bipartisan support dominates the discourse. What the hell's going on here? This isn't about Republicans and Democrats. This is about the medico-pharmaceutical complex resisting any challenge to the obscene profits it rakes in. My guest this morning, as part of our continuing feature, Wide and Watch, is Peter Shapiro with Mobilization for Healthcare for All. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Chris.
Thanks so much for joining us today. I understand that there is an event, an action taking place tomorrow that our listeners might be interested in hearing about.
Actually, there are actions taking place around the country, I believe in 12 different cities. A coalition called the Mobilization for Healthcare for All has sent out a call for people to commit civil disobedience on October 15th. And they basically have been signing people up, I think over 700 volunteers, all over the country. We have a group of people in Portland who have agreed to take part, and there will be an action, and people who want to show support for those folks can come down to the Blue Cross headquarters at 100 Southwest Market tomorrow morning at 10. We don't recommend that civil disobedience is not something that people should do on the spur of the moment. So if you want, there will be future actions, and if people want to participate on that level, they can go to the Mobilization for Healthcare for All website and sign on, and there, you know, next time there's an action, they can participate. But what they can do tomorrow is to show up and show your support and show your anger at the way the insurance industry has totally distorted and warped the process of healthcare reform in Congress.
Why now? How does this fit in with the proceedings in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I mean, the bill that passed the Senate Finance Committee yesterday is a piece of toxic waste, in my opinion. The whole idea of requiring people to buy health insurance.
Or we kill them, right?
Yeah, I mean, or we fine them, actually, is what it comes down to. You're criminalizing people who don't buy something, which many of us simply can't afford to buy. I'm fortunate enough to have health coverage through my job, but if I didn't, I'm retired, and the cost of paying for my health insurance myself would basically take up my entire annuity check that I get every month in the mail.
And, yeah, it would,
you know,
be crushing for most people.
My family would be living on whatever my wife can bring home. That's not a solution. It's not a solution to anything. And Senator Wyden needs to know that, and so do the rest of the people who voted for that bill.
The idea of fining people or in any way compelling people to buy something they can't afford in order to ensure that the bottom line for some of these corporations remains intact ought to be morally and ethically repugnant to everyone. It's hard to understand how this ever entered into the discourse in the first place.
Well, you know, I mean, people are required to buy car insurance, and I find it obnoxious, but I have to concede that it probably does make me a better driver, knowing that if I do something stupid on the road, my rates could go up.
But this is health insurance we're talking about. My guest today has been Peter Shapiro with Mobilization for Healthcare for All. One more time, Peter, do you want to talk, just mention the action tomorrow?
I'm sorry, Chris.
One more time, could you just mention the action going on tomorrow?
Yes, it's at 100 Southwest Market at 10 o'clock in the morning. Just show up and show your support for those who have agreed to commit civil disobedience. We're going to be asking the CEO of Blue Cross to basically commit not to challenging any claims for treatment for life-threatening conditions and to stop using our premium dollars to lobby Congress to prevent real health care reform.
Thank you so much for that, Peter.
Thank you, Chris.
Here's one of those It's About Time stories. Oregon State Land Board has voted to increase grazing fees on 635,000 acres of state lands, most of it in southeastern Oregon. The exact amount isn't certain yet because a major factor in the formula setting the amount is the price of beef. Changes will be phased in over the next 3 years. The state rangelands bring in about $346,000 a year, and after costs produce about $56,000 for the Common School Fund, which begs the question, what happened to the other 80%, the costs?
In North Portland, what the Oregonian describes as a small nonprofit organization, that would be the Portland alumni chapter of the Delta Sigma Theta sorority, is building a new community center that meets the living building criteria for construction practices, energy efficiency, and use of recycled materials. It's going to be called the new June Key Community Center, and it will serve as a demonstration of how to use recycled and low-cost materials to create community spaces. The project will convert an abandoned gas station into the hub of the community center and will use metal cargo shipping containers, salvaged glass, and recycled construction materials. Solar panels will provide energy, and the building will use harvested rainwater. Stormwater will be managed by bioswales planted with native vegetation. Sounds like a really good idea.
Sewage by the sea is what we have here on the Oregon coast. A seaside mobile home park and RV campground are getting stocked with nearly $250,000 in penalties for failing to replace the park's inadequate septic system. It's the eighth highest fine in the DEQ's 30-year history. The irony is that it's easy to target small-time individuals who pollute and still allow huge corporate interests to push conditions that produce dead zones. And we could have a future where our rivers and shores are studded with LNG terminals, our wild lines laced with pipelines, and all that money and energy flowing to out-of-state interests.
Well, two Republicans does not a bipartisan bill make, and it doesn't matter anyway. So when the news breaks that the second Republican senator suggests that she's open to voting for sweeping health care legislation this year, don't get too excited. Maine Senator Susan Collins thinks that the bill approved yesterday by the Finance Committee needs substantial improvements to make coverage more affordable, contain costs, and protect Medicare. Indeed, Senator Collins. And now this, Liam.
A Portland man who attacked his ex-girlfriend and impaled her pet fish this summer has been sentenced to 2 years probation, a psychological evaluation, and community service. Donald Earl Fite III pleaded guilty yesterday to animal abuse and assault. Fite and girlfriend Sarah Harris argued and fought. Harris fled but returned with a cop to find her fish, a bright purple betta named DeLorean, on the wood floor with a knife through it. Fite quickly admitted killing the fish. He told police, "If she can't have me, then she can't have the fish." Prosecutor Eric Zimmerman told Judge Eric Bergstrom that Harris plans to get a memorial tattoo of the fish and wanted Fite to pay for it. Bergstrom, however, declined to make Fite pay restitution for the tattoo. The judge ordered Fite to stay away from Harris, but said he could have contact with fish.
Fish in general, or specifically fighting fish that presumably ought to be able to defend themselves?
It was done.
Obviously didn't fight hard enough, did it?
This has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, October 14th, 2009. Engineering is Kurt Lauer. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Chris Andre is the producer. I'm Liam Delta.
You're listening to All Natural, Free Range, Non-Syndicated KBOO Radio 90.7 FM in Portland. KBOO.FM on the web. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, Flashpoints. An update on Honduras and an interview with Dar Jamil about soldiers resisting the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And then The Dirt Bag with Glenn Andreessen. Cover Crops and guest Jim Gilbert reports on his fruit-finding trip to Eastern Europe.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to call that number right now. It's 503-232-8818 or toll-free 1-877-500-5266. Where else are you going to hear a story about a man, a woman, and a fish?